Hey, Alyssa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, David?
Good, good. Hey, we're on our way with these podcast things. So, what's so new and exciting?
You have a show coming up.
So, how did that all come about? For many years, aside from the everyday photography work that I do, which is conferences, meetings, and events, I have another side. My upbringing has always been about fine art photography. And that's honestly where my roots started way back when. And one of the first things I ever did back after my first wife passed was I had always wanted to go to a place called the Maine Media Workshops. The first class I ever took was a fine art nude photography class. From that point on, I realized in doing what I wanted to do, for me, photography has always been about light, shape, form, composition. So the basics of creating light, form, shape, composition applies to everything that I do, whether it's working at an event, looking at the light, how the light strikes the particular subjects or objects or whatever the case may be, or in a landscape situation where you're working with a human body, that's all there is. There's no flashes. You're dealing with existing light. So you're looking at the sun, how the sun falls, how the light falls from the sun onto the subject, whether the light is dabbled on the human body as it's laying across rocks or water. So that's what you have to work with. You don't have a lot of fancy lighting. You don't have your onboard camera flashes or anything like that. All that stuff is verboten. What you basically end up doing is you end up thinking about the subject. You end up thinking about going back to the basic roots of photography and understanding. So I started at the Maine Workshops and did that for a number of years. One of the teachers, Karen Rosenthal, has taught a class, for many years on the Cape. She taught at the Cape Cod Photo Workshops. Karen's workshops were even more refined in the sense that for her, it was about capturing the body and bodyscapes and bodyscapes, how the body blends into the water and into the light and into the reeds.
Yeah, and some spectacular bodyscape images. That's really the only way you can describe them.
And for those of you that want to see Karen's work, we'll have it in the show notes. We'll have her web address so you'll be able to go check out her work. She teaches, I know she teaches a couple of workshops a year. One of them I took, I hadn't taken her class in a number of years. This past summer, I took a class with Karen Rosenthal at the Landgrove Inn in Vermont.
So what made you decide to take a nude fine art photography workshop?
Well, what motivated me was the fact that my background is as a fine art photographer. All of the work I do every day draws from those experiences.
You had taken her workshop on the Cape before?
Karen had taught a number of workshops through the years at a place called the Cape Cod Photo Workshops, which unfortunately is no longer there, but it was run by two women in near Truro. And it was the kind of thing where we would, they would have it in their home. They would have a whole outside area that we would sit under, like a tented area. And we would have meals together. We would discuss photography together. We would sit in, and they had a room that was set aside where all of us could gather around a table and look at prints. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was print photography. And so you would go out, you would make pictures, and then you'd come back and they'd process your film. They'd make you what were called work prints, which were 8x10 size black and white prints. And you would use those the next day and have a discussion for a few hours looking at everybody's work.
Is this a new location for her?
It's a new location for me. I had never been there before. I think she has taught this workshop a number of times in Vermont. Don't quote me on that, but it's a very remote location in the mountains at a place called Landgrove, Vermont. And the place that you go to is a place called the Landgrove Inn, which when you go there, you go off the main road and continue on the main road for quite a while. And then you go off another main road and you go to the end of this road where it doesn't look like it goes anywhere. And the nice tar main road turns into a dirt road. And then there's a sign that says, "Welcome to Landgrove, Vermont." So, yeah.
Way out in the country.
Way out in the country, yes. And as I'm driving down the road on this dirt road, I pass the town hall. And the town hall is this old steepled church.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't look like there's anybody there, but I never went inside. It was interesting. There was a small sign out there that said town hall. And then you drive a little further down the road and you pass a couple of barns. We actually got to go into one of the barns and make some pictures. It was great. And then a little further down on the right is a little country inn. Well, it's not even so little. It's actually pretty large. You turn into the dirt parking lot and the main building is on the right. They have another building which they made up on a hill. They use it as an art building or a place where people can go and paint and draw and photograph. And it's a great space. Has big windows, lots of light, all wood. A lot of it's unfinished in terms of the interior, but it's very nice. And it's got some old furniture inside. And then behind that is a big giant pond with woods.
Oh, great. Yeah, I've seen her work from Cape Cod workshops. The human form and water scapes are gorgeous.
Yes. Karen's workshops were different than the workshops I took when I was up in Maine, the Maine media workshops. Karen tends to focus more on the body and, you know, different body scapes, body shapes.
Yeah, it's a more graphic style, so like the body becomes more an abstraction, more about shape and form.
Exactly.
As opposed to nude human body.
Exactly. This is more about pieces of the body and how the body blends within the environment.
Yes.
Whether it's in the water, or whether it's on the land or with the leaves. It's a very interesting way of looking at the human body, where you can make photographs with no heads, where mm-hmm. you just see the body itself with something as simple as a soccer ball, or the body coming up out of the water and just the head and the shoulders, and then that reflects into the water.
Mm-hmm.
Making the kinds of images that I make every day, which are far more realistic type images of people smiling, happy, having a good time, as I call it, either photographing them when they're having coffee or photographing them when they're having cocktails. This is a whole other side of photography, a whole different way of thinking about making images. And it requires a lot more thought, just slowing down, thinking about the kinds of images, pre-visualizing, understanding the kinds of images that you feel like you want to make, by only using certain portions of the body to create some type of vision that blends the human body with the environment.
Right.
Very different thought process.
Yes, and not only that, you're using natural light instead of having complete control over the light, so you're kind of at the mercy of Mother Nature and have to watch where the light falls, and if you want to maybe have the model move a little bit so it falls slightly different.
You're constantly studying the light.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly watching the light. Where is the light now? Where is it falling? How did I even come about to all this? I had always wanted to go to the Maine media workshops. I'd always wanted to study photography from a different perspective. And the only way I knew how to do that, that I felt comfortable and natural for me, was to do fine art nudes, because there's no barriers. When someone isn't wearing anything, there's no distractions. And as you're making images, in most cases, in black and white, now there's no color distractions.
Mm-hmm.
There's no thought of, well, I'm gonna have color this, and I'm gonna have color that, and this is gonna be blue and pink and red and yada. No, it's just skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
And green or brown, what shades of gray does all that translate into? So now you start thinking zone system.
Yes.
So zone system, what's a zone system?
Back Those of to you, Ansel Adams.
Back to Ansel Adams. Well, it teaches you how to see. So I learned about shades of gray because as I began to photograph, I had to think in black and white.
Yes.
I had to look at a color and realize, okay, what approximated gray is that going to be?
Right, what zone is that?
What zone is it falling into? Now, I'm not a hard, fast zone system person per se, but I also have to decide where I want things to be on a certain level, because if I want my blacks to be really black and I pre-visualize in my mind the shot I'm going to make, thinking in terms of, okay, this is going to be black, this is going to be white, and all the other colors will fall in line. And then when I bring it into Photoshop or bring it into my iPad and whatever image manipulation program I'm working with, I can have lots of options and know that I'm not losing information. So that's how it all translates back. But it always starts with making the right exposures. What came out of the workshop is we worked with a number of models, and one of the male models Karen's been friendly with for many, many years. And I got an email about a month ago stating that they wanted to do a gallery show around this particular model. And I was invited to submit up to 12 images that I had made at the workshop of this particular model for submission. Now, because I'm a commercial photographer, because my days are spent either out photographing commercial work, events, or looking to find new clients and drive in business, the balance is being able to make a living as a photographer, which is another show for another day. So my days are spent, you know, trying to drive in business, trying to keep a balance of making sure that everybody gets paid on Friday. My time isn't really spent thinking about, well, what's the next gallery show I want to do? Or what's the next exhibit I'd like to have? I mean, it's always a dream to be able to have one of these, and I have had one of these before with this Art Because project that we did on breast cancer survivors. But just to be part of a gallery show with a number of other photographers was something that I'd always kind of thought about, but never really had the opportunity.
Right, and this isn't just a gallery. This is the Griffin Museum of Photography, which to me it's a step above a gallery.
Agreed. This is a step above a gallery. This is an internationally known gallery for photography. People like, I know Lennon Nimoy had his work presented there. I know that they are a sponsor of ASMP. I get mailings on their shows. They've had some pretty big name photographers.
They have, yeah.
So great. To be honored to have not one, but three images hung on the wall in that type of museum. And they've had so many wonderful images. They're going to have about 60 images that they're going to hang on the walls. And then they're going to have the rest of the images in a rolling slideshow. So it's myself and about 38 other photographers. And we each have a certain number of images. In my case, it's three on the wall, one in the slideshow, plus a few. They wanted some outtakes. If we had made any outtakes of, you know, just fun stuff going on.
Behind the scenes
type pictures. So I had made a few and I submitted those as well. So those I'm hoping will be in the slideshow as well. But it is kind of like a dream come true.
Yeah, that's very exciting. It's a big thing to have some work on display at the Griffin Museum of Photography.
Yeah, it is. And I feel very honored and I feel very blessed that I get to do that. But I also say that none of this would have come about if I don't have the support and the team in place that allows me to be the creative artist, to get to go to these kinds of workshops and allow myself the time and the space to go and practice and play and expand my vision and expand my skill sets and try things that I normally can't do when I'm on a job every day. There, it's very precise.
Right, and you're under a time crunch, you don't have time to look for the... I mean, you do get artistic images. It's still a different mindset than when you're out specifically photographing artistic photographs than on a job.
Exactly, and when you have someone who's standing there with nothing on, it's very different than photographing a CEO.
Very different.
who's in a tie and a jacket.
Right.
But what you do from all of this is, at least that I do, is I take the mindset that working up in that type of artistic, creative environment and bring it back to my everyday work.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps keep me fresh. It helps keep my thought process fresh. When I walk into a room that is transformed into the Caribbean or some exotic environment, or there are just uplights everywhere, blending the lighting that is brought in, plus the existing lighting, plus all of the decor,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if there happens to be daylight streaming into the room, how do you balance all of that?
Right, because you have lots of mixed white balance, and then the colored lights thrown in, which can be a skin tone color balancing nightmare at times.
Can be.
But sometimes you just have to go with it, depending on what the image is.
Exactly. You know, now you're dealing with all kinds of crazy light.
Right. At least the skin tones will not have mixed light on them, but the background could be a little
exactly
off.
Well, you know, and then the other thing is if you're photographing early in the morning, the light is more blue, and if you're photographing in the end of the day, the light is more red.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how does that translate in black and white? Well, it's going to change the tones on the grays and the blacks and the whites. So it's an interesting juxtaposition where from a morning blue light, you now, I don't know, blue does something to black and white. I can't give you all the technical aspects of everything because I don't always think in terms of that deep about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just know what my eye sees and how I try and translate that. And if it isn't exactly the way I want it, I can bring it back in the computer now, which so I can cheat a little bit, where in the old days of film, you couldn't cheat. Mm-hmm. All that would really translate then is that there's just not enough light to expose the film. Or you'd have to open it up, or you'd have to push your film in order to see more light coming onto that subject. So the opening night of the show is going to be May 12th.
Yes, that's the reception.
At the Griffin Museum in Winchester, Massachusetts. It's going to be held from 6 to 9 p.m. We invite our listeners to please come to the show. Come and visit.
It's a great museum, and you'll get to see some amazing photographs, not only by David, but 37 other photographers, including Karen Rosenthal.
And I have seen just some of the work in the particular workshop that I attended, and I was envious. I mean, some of the work that I had seen a lot of everyone make was just, it was phenomenal. And I really hope that a lot of it has been accepted. I don't know the rest of the work that these other photographers have made, but I'm personally am looking forward to seeing their work.
Yes, it should be really interesting to see how all these different photographers captured the same model, all by Karen Rosenthal workshops.
Well, it's Karen runs this fine art workshop. In this particular case, the title of her workshop was called Beyond the Pose.
Okay, so these are taken in Landgrove, Vermont?
I don't believe so. I think she's invited photographers from not only this set of workshops up in Landgrove, but she's invited photographers from her past workshops.
Oh, okay.
Now, I may actually have some images of this particular model from past workshops that I've taken with Karen. I don't specifically remember, nor did I go back into my archive and go look. Didn't quite progress that far. I only kept it focused on this particular workshop that I took this summer. Maybe if I had dug a little deeper, I might have actually found some others.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, I tried to keep it simple. I was hoping, honestly, to get one image in the show. You know, I didn't know how many people were submitting. I didn't know whether or not I'd even have a chance. Because, you know, these are shows. You kind of throw something in, it's kind of like throwing a dart. And did you hit the board?
Right.
When she came back to me, emailed me back, and said, we're selecting four of your images, I was like, oh my God.
Exciting.
So that was a really big surprise. The opening night is May 12th. However, the actual show is going to run May 5th through June 12th. So those of you that can't come the opening night, the show will be at the Griffin Museum during that time period. And from what I understand, Karen is going to have another, not opening, but kind of like a symposium where she is going to come and speak, and some of the other photographers are going to speak. We don't have a date for that yet, but when we do, we will announce that on our podcast and put it in the show notes and put it up on Facebook as well. So
absolutely, yeah, it'll be out on social.
This whole process has been very exciting. Now my images have been selected. That's wonderful. But then that's where the work really began. So the process, once my images were selected, once I got over that wow excitement, now I had to go back in and look at each image and really go in and go back to the raw file, mm-hmm. and go in, do the work, remember what I had done before sitting in this space up in Vermont, trying to recreate exactly what I had envisioned in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then Karen was kind enough to guide me. So I would go back and I would rework the image. And then I would send her a copy of each of the images, and she would critique them.
Okay.
So, which was extremely helpful to me. And I needed to be open enough to her guidance, to her vision, to her direction, and put my ego aside and say, okay, this is the show that they're trying to create. I only have four pieces. They've got 60 other pieces.
And they all have to work together, and it's another artist's vision using your work and how they're going to work together in the show.
From not only how the finished photographs are going to look, but how each piece is going to be framed.
Mm-hmm.
So she went through each individual aspect with me and explained to me, okay, this is how you frame and how do you frame a gallery piece. I printed the images approximately 12 by 18 digitally, black and white, tried to get as wide a gamut as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I printed it on an Epson 2880 printer, and the quality is just, you know, in the old days, I used to print film onto paper, and what's amazing about digital is not only can you master all the tones in an image, I know you can do that in black and white, but I could never do it near as well when I worked in the dock room as I can working in front of a computer.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
that's interesting.
I would struggle print after print after print after print, and just something would just never be exactly the way I wanted it to. It could literally take me a day to make, you know, a couple of prints if I was doing fine art stuff that I was really happy with. Mm-hmm. Here, you know, working in the computer can sometimes still be a struggle as well. Because I know that it took me the better part of a day just to print 4 images. It's being able to master what you see on the screen.
And have that come out the way you want.
Exactly.
Which rarely happens on the first try.
Yeah, very true. Sometimes you get lucky. So basically the way I did it was I took the print, left a 1/4 inch white around the image. Then we're taking and making a 2-inch mat, which goes around that. But the white edge is still showing on the print.
Oh, okay.
And then we're putting it into a 1-inch black frame. The question in my mind came up is, should I limit the prints, how many I'm going to make of these?
Yes.
Should I number them? So 1 of 10 or 1 right. of 100 or, mm-hmm. and I decided to make them 1 of 10.
Okay.
In this particular case, I made 2 finished prints, because if you're going to make one, make 2.
Right.
Well, I decided to frame the 3 in this particular format, but the last print, The Power of Jim, was only going to be in the slideshow. So what I decided to do, since I'm not a great mat cutter, is I had them frame me 3 pieces that are going to hang in the show, and then an additional set of 4 prints I'm having mats cut for.
Oh, okay.
And those mats are going to fit into metal frames that I already own. And it will hang in the studio.
Okay.
And at this particular point, we're thinking about, okay, what is this going to cost, this little project?
Right, yes, because framing is not cheap.
Framing is not cheap. But right now, I also wanted to have my own private set.
That's great, to have the new work up at your studio.
Which I need to do. The work's getting a little tired, but that's another subject for another day, yes. I mean, it looks fresh, too.
Great images.
Thank you.
Yeah, some of them are older, and it'd be nice to have some new stuff in there.
Yes, it would. So anyway, that was my thought process, but I had never really thought in terms of, I mean, I frame stuff when I used to do a lot of framing for clients and used to do a lot of family portraits, and I would frame. Most of them were done standard sizes. Sometimes I would have the luxury of being able to do some things that were more creative. But, you know, most people wanted to have, at least my clientele, wanted to have something that was a bit more straightforward. So mm-hmm. I'd make it for them. This was a wonderful opportunity to do something different, to try something a bit more creative, mm-hmm. to limit edition my prints, mm-hmm. which I'd not done before. So, again, as an artist, I'm able to follow my artistic path in a very different way than I do as a commercial photographer in my everyday life. So it gives you a chance to spread your wings. It gives you a chance to think a little bit differently. It gives you a chance to express who you are as a creative being mm-hmm. in a very different way than you do because you know you have to make certain images a certain way.
Right.
So the point I guess I'm making with this whole podcast is that don't be afraid to get out and try new things. To say, oh, I will never be in a museum or gallery. I will never have the opportunity to do that. Well, don't say never. Get out there, do your thing, try different workshops. There's lots of them out there, whether you work with Karen, whether you work with the Main Media workshops. There's so many people teaching workshops these days. Take a week off, take a few days off, take a weekend off, and just go and learn something new about yourself. Learn something new about the creativity that you have buried deep inside you that mm-hmm. is just itching to come out.
Right.
And you may not even realize it's there yet.
That's true.
Well, again, thanks for listening. And since this is now completion of number 3 podcast, I can't wait to hear what number 4 is going to be.
Yes. Vacations?
Oh, yeah, we could get back on that subject again. I keep pushing. I'm really needing one.
Yes.
So till next time, thanks, everybody.
Thanks. Happy shooting.